Welcome to The Forum on 90.5 WCBE. The Forum is the Columbus Metro Club's weekly program that cultivates the conversations that drive Columbus forward. Every Wednesday at a networking luncheon in downtown Columbus, The Forum brings together visionary leaders to examine issues that matter. We'd love to have you join us in person. Tickets and information about upcoming forums are available at columbusmetroclub.org. Small businesses are the backbone of Central Ohio's economy, creating jobs and adding life to our communities. Despite inflation, labor shortages, and tariffs, many small business owners report feeling optimistic about the future. This week, we explore why. Our panelists are Stuart Hoffman, Senior Economic Advisor with PNC Financial Services Group, Tim Kehoe with the Economic and Community Development Institute, Ariana Ulloa Olivarieta, Small Business Coordinator for the City of Columbus, and Walter Iwez, Founder of Tortilla Street Food. Our host is Susan Post, Digital Editor with Columbus Business First. Let's join this week's Columbus Metropolitan Club Forum, The State of Small Business.
Thank you, Sophia. PNC's semi-annual survey of small and mid-sized business owners found a 23-year record high share, 84%, are optimistic about the prospects for their own businesses, and that's a percentage that has trended upward over the last year. The survey also showed 58% of business owners are optimistic about the national economy, and an even higher percentage, 67%, are optimistic about their local economy. But other portions of the survey showed some juxtaposition to that record optimism. Nearly half of respondents are extremely concerned about inflation risk in the next 6 months, along with rising costs and a potential recession. Let's dive into the good, the concerning, and the Columbus of it all as we explore the state of small business. So Stuart, PNC's survey pointed to optimism on a couple fronts. Not only is there record optimism from business owners about their prospects, but a significant percentage also are optimistic about the economy. Let's unpack that. What do you think is driving that optimism?
Well, first let me say it's a real pleasure and an honor to be participating in this program, and to my fellow panelists, PNC is glad to sponsor it. You may know that our tagline is brilliantly boring. And in the next few minutes, you're going to find out which half of that I represent. So I'll leave it to you to decide. The survey, I want to remind everyone, that survey was taken back in July. So maybe it's a little dated. We do it twice a year. There are other surveys, talk about the competition, the NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, and they do it every month. Their latest survey was down a little. But back to our survey, and so really at the time we were asking people through the rest of this year and into next year. Of course, they didn't know about government shutdowns that hopefully will end. And other events. But you're right, they were highly optimistic, one of the highest we've seen. We were a little surprised that it was that high. They said that they were still concerned about inflation, and indeed we've learned, well, we're in a data fog right now with a lot of the government data not out, but hopefully will cascade on us in the next couple of weeks as the government reopens. But they were concerned about inflation. They saw their costs were going up of doing business, trying to pass that along, dealing with tariffs. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we found out in that survey is small businesses probably struggle more to deal with tariffs than their larger sisters and brothers because of maybe the less market power that they have. So we've seen, of course, off and on tariffs back on now. Of course, the Supreme Court, if you want to complicate it, the SCOTUS is trying to decide if the president's powers that he used, IEEPA, I'll tell you what that stands for, but it's an Emergency Powers Act that he used to impose the or put the tariffs on. And if the Supreme Court strikes that down, that may be actually good news, although I can tell you that the president has other powers that he can use to put tariffs, in fact, a 15% blanket tariff against all of our trading partners. So that is sort of the context, but yes, they were worried about cost, but they felt, and I think small business owners are an optimistic group of people by their very nature, and I guess what they were saying is what we can control in our businesses, we have confidence in our ability to do with it. And indeed, I think we're going to find out, you know, early next year, the economy did quite well in the latter half of this year, as we start to get more data, which I think probably substantiated the optimism. We'll do another survey in January. We'll probably have the results in February, but that's, I think, the state of the market right now. By the way, we also happen to do a report, we meaning PNC. There are copies of it on your table. This isn't just small businesses. This is the whole business or metro economy. And as you can see, very upbeat. What's been going on in Columbus? Even I could go back 5 years ago to the pandemic and what's happened since then. Columbus has outpaced the U.S. trends, and looking at our report, in terms of other metro areas, they rank quite high. And our view is both small and large and medium-sized businesses in Central Ohio are going to do quite well in the coming years.
And we're going to touch more on that report and some of the questions that are coming up. But Walter, I want to hear from you as the small business owner on the panel. What's making you feel optimistic about your business right now?
Yeah, so I'm in the food truck business, and I think this is a great business for me. We've been doing it for 13 years, and every year we try to grow and grow and grow. And this year, next year, we have a project called Tortilla Park. Mm-hmm. And then we are a commissary, an incubator, and we're helping small businesses start from zero. They never maybe had the opportunity to own a truck, and they're maybe cooking from home. We're giving the opportunity to lease one of our trucks, mm-hmm. in our food truck park, see what's it like, and we also provide resources to them to make it to the big league.
Great. So as a successful business owner, you're going to help build more successful business owners.
Yeah. So the reason is, 13 years ago, I'm actually grateful to be here, mm-hmm. and I accept an invitation. It's my first time, in front of people talking. ECDI was one of the first companies that helped, build this business, mm-hmm. actually. I don't know if they know that. The OSDC helped me a lot in this project. I think he believed in us. And we have Blake from Compton Construction that made it happen for us. He's our GC. So, I want to say thank you to all of them and, to put Tortilla on the map.
Yeah, a lot of community support. And we're going to talk some more about some of those specific resources, too. But Ariana, wanted to see what you're seeing from small business owners or in Columbus. Are they feeling the optimism, do you think?
I think we're really lucky here in Columbus. To Walter's point, a lot of the organizations work really well together, and because of that, at the end of the day, our vision and mission is to support small businesses, and I think that all the different organizations here in the small business community do a great job of that, and so then in turn, it allows small business owners to do what it is that they love and that they're good at and that they're going to create change in.
And Tim, you have a unique role working with veteran business owners. How do you see them approaching the current climate?
Largely as a whole, the veteran-owned businesses are facing some of the same inflationary pressures, cost measures that businesses as a whole are experiencing. But there still is lots of room for optimism. First, I'd like to apologize on Ina's behalf. She is ill, wasn't able to make it today. And though I could never meet her level of fire or passion for small businesses, everything we do at ECDI is built around that, supporting small businesses, the jobs that they create. And what veterans are experiencing as they're creating or trying to grow their business is increased costs for everything from equipment to materials. I'm sure Walter can talk to the wide varying degrees of the cost of a bag of lettuce. It's gone all over the place in the last 5 years. And so the one thing that I think is universal in small businesses is the need for funding, the need for assistance. The impact that we have at ECDI is huge. The need even exceeds that.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about another point of optimism. According to PNC's regional economic analysis, the Columbus labor force is growing at the fastest pace among the top 50 MSAs, supported by diverse job creation across industries. So it's kind of a dual question for Ariana and Tim. How are you seeing that reflected through the lens of small businesses? Tim, are you seeing more entrepreneurs approaching ECDI and, the specific programs that you offer? And, Ariana, how is the city helping to facilitate that growth?
Yes, absolutely. So We've seen spikes in entrepreneurial need after the Great Recession, certainly during COVID, and it seems to have just accelerated from that point. It seems like everybody who's entering the workforce as an employee of a business also has a side business of their own. And entrepreneurship is a very real and tangible thing for people to have and own the small business. And so that force through the economy is continuing to pick up every day.
Yeah, what I will add is Franklin County, Columbus, saw an uptick in our population in large part due to the influx of immigrants, given that we in Columbus, and I'm very proud to say, we are very welcoming of all, making sure that whoever calls Columbus home feels welcomed, feels supported. And so what we're seeing is a large influx of immigrant-owned businesses. As an immigrant myself, as a business owner myself, it's living the American dream, right? Like, we are all here, all of us. Every single person in this room, at some point, your ancestors or you came to this country to seek a better life. And I'm proud to say that, again, we collectively work really well as an ecosystem to make sure that anyone who calls Columbus home has the ability to prosper, to create something different for themselves and their future generations.
You know, Walter, really since the pandemic, I know there have been a lot of challenges, particularly in the restaurant industry, in hiring and retaining employees. What has your experience been like? And do you see that labor pool increasing as of late?
Yeah, it was an issue, but with the food truck business, it was a little different, right? Because, restaurants had to close, and we have the advantage that we were able to drive wherever we needed to go and sell our product. So I think when the pandemic started, we started to serve in neighborhoods, and it seems like it was a festival when you go into a neighborhood, but it was because, there were no restaurants open. So I think for the food truck business, the food trucks that really took advantage and they were out there, regardless of, the situation, I think it was actually positive for us. And we were able to retain a lot of employees, by the way.
I will say, not just across the food industry, but if you have called a plumber or electrician a skilled trade and it was weeks for them to show up, they're struggling to find employees that are quality employees. And the employees of those businesses are going out and starting their own small businesses as electricians and as plumbers. And so it's one of those things where it's a constant cycle of new businesses being grown from the employees of those businesses and those businesses that they've left searching for new employees.
Stuart, the report specifically mentioned the growth in professional and business services employment. Tell us more about what that means and other areas where Central Ohio is primed for job growth.
Yes, if we look back, not in this report, but another one we've done, look back to just before the pandemic hit. It's hard to believe that's almost 6 years ago. In early, say, 2020. As I mentioned earlier, the greatest, fastest growth has been professional business services, and more generally, private services. Certainly healthcare and technology and this market, not surprisingly, state government, have shown growth. And as I mentioned earlier briefly, you've outpaced the national trend, both in terms of jobs and impressively in terms of labor force, which is basically a proxy for population. Mm-hmm. So we've seen it across the board, but also to a greater extent than in the U.S., given what you just talked about, we've seen an increase in manufacturing jobs. We've definitely seen, we, meaning you, have seen an increase in this region in construction jobs, given all the activity that's going on. So it's professional and business services. But it's broader than that, or it has been, at least so far this decade. And it does include the manufacturing, it does include the construction, which probably captures a lot of electricians and plumbers and people who work in the construction trades, whether they're on their own or working for a larger company and then splitting off. Clearly, this region has absorbed and is continuing to absorb skills of all types across all different industries.
Great. And despite that good news and some of this optimism, small business owners did express some concerns in very specific areas. According to PNC's Economic Outlook for September 2025, 46% of small and mid-sized business owners are extremely concerned about inflation risk in the next 6 months. So Stuart, what, if anything, can a business owner do to potentially get ahead of rising inflation?
Well, first off, inflation has risen. It's going to be a little higher this year than it was last year. And in fact, one of the missing pieces was the consumer price index for September that the government called, the BLS, called back their employees to be able to put that out. And the reason why is they needed it to be able to set all the Social Security and other increases that the federal government sets for 2026. I'm looking around this room. Maybe there are a few of us that actually cared about what the Social Security increase was going to be in 2026. It's going to be 2.8%. For this year, it was 2.5%. So a little more inflation. We think some of that is the pass-through of tariffs. Energy prices have been fairly well-behaved. But you're right. Small businesses have seen, as I mentioned earlier, dealing with the tariffs. Mm-hmm. But they have seen an increase in labor costs. Maybe the availability is hopefully improved, but they have seen that. They're probably about to see some pretty big increases in health care costs, depending upon what happens after the government reopens and the vote that's supposed to be held, at least in the Senate. So that's what small businesses are doing. Our survey suggests they're trying to pass that along. So to the extent that their costs go up, they try to maintain their profit margins by passing that along. Mm-hmm. Whether it's a tariff-related cost or, you know, just a general business cost. And I think that's one of the things that all of us, I mean, some could argue the elections last week certainly had a cost-of-living tone to it in all the discussions. And so it's not only small businesses, it's all businesses and all of us in this room dealing with the rising costs, or prices. Not nearly as fast as several years ago, but prices are still rising. So you have the level of prices quite high, even though rising more slowly. People are not only concerned about the rate of inflation that economists think about, but they're concerned about what it costs when they go to the grocery store or the gas station or wherever to buy their daily necessities.
That actually goes right into my next point. Of nearly 60% of the survey respondents expect to increase the prices they charge customers in the next 6 months, with 54% attributing those hikes to non-labor costs. So Walter, is inflation and is this something that you're seeing and worried about at Tortilla?
I'm a little worried. We actually evaluating us now, maybe in the beginning of the year, we'll think about maybe, you know, trying to raise the cost of the menu, but hopefully not.
I mean, I'm already starting to see it with different businesses already sending out the emails, giving customers a heads up that, you know, purchase what you can between now and a specific date, because in order for us to survive, it's not even thriving, it's in order for us to survive, we get to increase pricing.
And do you think that transparency, like, is a good policy for business owners to put that out there? And, you know, how are you guys maybe coaching business owners through this?
I mean, something that definitely has occurred recently is there's been a shift back to shopping local. And so, yes, we absolutely coach small businesses in continuing to develop the relationship with their clients so that when price increases happen, a client is more willing to stay with the small business owner because, right, they know that this price increase is going to support the small business owner's family, their employees' families. It stays in the community versus going outside of our community.
It goes beyond just pricing to the consumer too. It speaks to the small business's capital need. If buying a new fryer because your fryer goes out is twice as expensive as it was when you first bought that fryer, that extends into every single aspect of the business. Its pricing structure, its cost of goods. And so at ECDI, we have a $54 million loan portfolio, and its average loan size is $20,000. And so small businesses have big needs when they either want to launch or grow, and those barriers are getting higher and taller.
So Stuart, kind of want to get the economist's perspective to sort of wrap up this inflation and, you know, rising costs. You know, how is this all related, and what is it going to take to break this cycle?
I see we're out of time for questions, but, as I said, I think that we're not going to enter a period where prices fall. I mean, some may, clearly, like eggs. I assume you have egg prices, and we, you know, have talked about that. But the overall cost of living, the consumer price index, which is, 70,000 different things that we buy, I do think gasoline is one that looks. We think we have sort of a global glut. OPEC's been increasing supply. Demand is going to grow more slowly, so that might be some relief. Not maybe electricity costs, but gas and natural gas, and particularly gasoline. But our forecast next year is that inflation will be about the same as this year, maybe up a little. We still think there are more tariffs that are going to be passed through in prices by both small and large companies, probably through the middle of next year. And of course, that's a fluid situation, as I mentioned earlier, given the case before the SCOTUS right now. So I don't think we're going to, quote, break the inflation cycle. The Federal Reserve lowered rates twice. We think they will again next month, but it's a close call. But we do think that some interest costs may come down. If you're a borrower, of course, if you're investing money and you've been getting money market funds at 4%, guess what? They're going to be 3 or in the low 3s. So, the lender and a borrower and the lender. But the best I can offer you is slower rate of inflation. And I don't think we're necessarily breaking this cycle of inflation. We're moderating it, and it has moderated over the last several years. But if people are concerned about the level of prices, the vast majority of them are going to stay where they're at or go up, but less, say, next year than they may have over the last couple of years.
Well, I want to turn back to something a little more positive. talk about the great resources that are available to small business owners in Columbus. Walter, tell us a little bit about how you've been able to grow your business over the last decade and some of the local resources that you utilized.
Yeah, so 2024 was the first time that we asked for a loan, mm-hmm. and that's when we found our allocation to move our commissary and our headquarters. So we approached to Heartland Bank, OSDC, and then we created our business plan, and they made it happen for us. They believe in us. They actually saw what we were doing in the past too. So. It was great getting our first loan in 2024.
Great. Ariana, this is a bit of a fun fact, but you actually helped me start a business and set up an LLC to do some freelancing during your time at the SBDC at Columbus State. That was well over a decade ago, but I use that example to highlight that there have long been resources for small business owners in Columbus. So tell us a little bit about what makes Columbus unique in both the economic environment and the resources it offers for business owners.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that.
Look where it got me,
So good. I think it's a double-edged sword. Columbus has quite an extensive ecosystem of small business support, from startup businesses. There's a lot of startup small business, and then also existing businesses. So, to Tim's point, you have an existing business that gets to grow, you're going to need financing. It's not a matter of if you're going to need financing as a small business owner, it's a matter of when. And a lot of what these organizations do really well is prepare small businesses for the future, right? Like working on your business now while preparing them for the future so that 3 years from now, you're ready to get a business loan, but you're thinking about it now. And so in the city, we have so many great resources. We at the city don't do direct one-on-one counseling, much to my chagrin anymore. So we work more on a macro level, and so we work with a lot of organizations like ECDI, like SBDC, the Columbus Chamber, Columbus Empowerment Center, just to name a few, and support them in doing the one-on-one business support that is so important. And through the pandemic, we did a study, the Small Business Agenda, which is at the city, it's our roadmap to how we as a city and as a community can support small businesses. And so part of what small businesses consistently came and told us was that it was overwhelming with the amount of support that's out there, which is amazing and also overwhelming. And so because of that, we put together an online portal, the Columbus Small Biz Hub, that has all of the resources, all of the organizations that provide small business support so that you as a small business owner can look for specifically whatever it is that you need, be it grants, which there aren't a lot of, but we technically have a filter for grants, financing, office space, co-working space, mentoring, whatever it is that you're looking for, there is very likely a program that will support you in order to take your business to the next level. And so that's something that if you are a small business owner, please check it out. If I'm sure you have friends and family that are small business owners that could also use that. So yeah, I mean, we're super lucky here.
Great. You know, Tim, ECDI has long been a major driver of the small business ecosystem in Central Ohio and across the state. So what are some of those unique programs like the Veteran Business Outreach Center that ECDI provides?
So ECDI, we fit well within the entrepreneurial ecosystem. We kind of envision ourselves as the one-stop shop for all things small business. So wherever they are on the small business scale, from idea stage all the way through to well-established businesses, things like our Women's Business Center, we have our Food Fort, Food Business Incubation Centers, where Walter can attest to. Sometimes you need a place to park your truck. Sometimes you need a microloan to fund the purchase of a new truck. And so that's one of the things that really sets ECDI apart is our lending program. We have loans for small business. We do loans for people with credit scores as low as 590. But it's designed to meet the needs of the individual small businesses. So their needs are widely varied depending on where they are in their business journey, what industry they're in, what their demographic. So I'm currently the director of the Veterans Business Outreach Center, and so my whole goal is reaching out to veterans that want to either launch or grow their business and preparing them for whatever the next hurdle is. If that's financing, it's preparing them for that. If it's they now want to hire a crew and then instead of being a solo entrepreneur, they're going to have a team. And so really it's meeting the needs of the individual businesses where they are. And oftentimes that comes in the form of capital funding. And so our microloan program is the largest in the United States. We did more microloans than any other SBA microlender last year. It's kind of a big deal because we're in Ohio and not one of the big population centers. But it's one of those things that, you know, Ina founded the organization specifically with this purpose to help small businesses launch or grow with the primary goal of creating employment opportunities. And so small businesses are the engine and the heartbeat of that here in Columbus as much as anywhere.
You're listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club's weekly forum on 90.5 WCBE. Small businesses are the backbone of Central Ohio's economy, creating jobs, fueling innovation, and shaping our communities. Despite inflation, labor shortages, and tariffs, many small business owners report feeling optimistic about the future. This week, we're exploring why. Our panelists are Stuart Hoffman, Senior Economic Advisor with PNC Financial Services Group, Tim Kehoe with the Economic and Community Development Institute, Ariana Ulloa Olivarieta, Small Business Coordinator for the City of Columbus, and Walter Iwez, Founder of Tortilla Street Food. Our host is Susan Post, Digital Editor with Columbus Business First. We'll return to this week's CMC Forum, The State of Small Business, after a short break.
Hi there, this is Morgan James. Every album represents a step in an artist's journey. Hello, music lovers. I'm inviting you to listen to Music Journeys with Mike Foley. Mike mixes music and conversation with artists to share what informed and inspired their latest project, how the love of music began, what music means to them, and so much more. We've chatted about three of my projects, the most recent being Soul Remains the Same, a soul album of songs you would never expect. You can always expect the perfect combination of music and stories on Music Journeys. The show airs Saturday afternoons at 3:30 on WCBE. Recent episodes are available on the major podcast platforms and the WCBE app. To meet and hear more from all the musicians featured since its start in 2018, including me, to be the first to be featured three times on the show, look for Music Journeys on WCBE's podcast experience at WCBE.org.
Do you love amazing stories? I know I do. I'm Michael Kent, and every week on my show, we examine something from history that's so unbelievable it sounds made up, but is 100% verifiably true. It's a podcast called The Internet Says It's True, and there are hundreds of episodes to choose from. For example, did you know the story of how Leonard Nimoy came up with Live Long and Prosper for Star Trek? Or how Colombia is dealing with a hippo problem that goes back directly to Pablo Escobar? Or one of my favorite stories, a man figured out that a nondescript Winnebago being auctioned online was actually an important part of space exploration history. These are all stories from The Internet Says It's True. Listening to a podcast has never been easier. You can listen through any popular podcast app, through the NPR app, or download the fantastic new WCBE app, click the Podcasts tab, and look for The Internet Says It's True with Michael Kent. You'll have so many stories up your sleeve, you'll feel like the smartest person in the room, especially if you're home alone.
Welcome back to the Columbus Metropolitan Club's weekly forum on 90.5 WCBE. Small businesses are the backbone of Central Ohio's economy, creating jobs, fueling innovation, and shaping our communities. Despite inflation, labor shortages, and tariffs, many small business owners report feeling optimistic about the future. This week, we're exploring why. Our panelists are Stuart Hoffman, Senior Economic Advisor with PNC Financial Services Group, Tim Kehoe with the Economic and Community Development Institute, Ariana Ulloa Olivarieta, Small Business Coordinator for the City of Columbus, and Walter Iwez, Founder of Tortilla Street Food. Our host is Susan Post, Digital Editor with Columbus Business First. Let's get back to this week's CMC Forum, the state of small business.
You know, you were talking a little bit about lending, and you can't really talk about that without addressing the shutdown and, you know, some announcements that have previously called for cuts to Small Business Administration funding. You know, so how does that uncertainty at the SBA trickle down to ECDI's work, and how are you trying to blunt that impact?
You know, the uncertainty is certainly there, and, you know, that's never fun when you're trying to plan. It creates a more urgency amongst our local partners, local corporations, local foundations, to help step in and fill that void if there is a void coming from the federal level. We're hearing slightly good things for the Community Development Financial Institution funding that may maintain. But the urgency for you in this room to support the work that ECDI does, to support the work that the SBDC does, that the city does, is now more important than it ever has been.
Are your, you know, Stuart, Tim, are you seeing any issues trying to administer SBA loans?
Not currently. Our microloan program is funded on an annual basis, and so that's not something where funding going out is a hurdle. And the at least our SBA 7A guarantee program, is called the Community Advantage Program, has been continuing to operate. And so we've been able to continue to administer funds. In fact, we just announced today a 2% small business loan special. And so if you need a loan of up to $10,000, you can get $5,000, sorry, at 2%, though, that's just kind of unheard of in any type of lending activity, especially small business lending.
And Stuart, has PNC still been issuing small SBA loans?
I believe we have. I'm not the expert in that area. Okay. PNC has been large. I have lots of colleagues in this room that could better answer that, but PNC has been for many years and in many markets a lender with through the SBA and directly to small businesses.
One of the big impacts of the furloughs is that we don't have our SBA district and regional office, and they provide such a megaphone to the activities and the work that we're doing with small businesses, and so not having had that has certainly been impactful. But as far as the actual nuts and bolts of the SBA, the guarantee programs, the microloan programs, those have all been running. And in all honesty, we're seeing a need more now for those programs than we've ever seen before.
All right, thank you so much, everyone. It's CMC's longstanding tradition to take audience questions. We'll move to questions from our live stream and in-person audience in just a few minutes. If you do have questions, please make your way over to the microphone now. If you're joining us on YouTube, please type your questions into the chat. But before we do take audience questions, panelists, I have one more question for you. So let's look to the future and end this on a positive note. Everyone, let's go down the line and tell me what's one thing small business owners should be optimistic about over the next 6 months?
Well, you know, I want to go to the point of being here in Columbus. Columbus is a great city. We call it home. I call it home. I've been here living for 24 years. And I think, you know, in my opinion, man, it's a great city. You see progress every day, construction everywhere. So I think, you know, Columbus is moving forward, you know.
Yeah, I will say that Columbus makes small businesses matter. And so it's a fantastic place to start a business and have a business because the community, in my experience, rallies around small businesses to make sure that they continue to thrive.
Yeah, I would echo that. For me, every day I get to help small business owners and ECDI, that's what we do. We have a whole team that's all we do all day long. And so for some, that's financing. For some, that's assistance. For some, that's mentoring or coaching. And so to me, the optimism comes in all of those things being available to small business owners. And we probably do it better here in Columbus than almost anywhere else. For a mid-sized city like Columbus to have the entrepreneurial ecosystem, ECDI included, is really phenomenal for a market this size that doesn't even really exist in Cleveland and Cincinnati and some of the other places that ECDI has a footprint that is really amazing. So my optimism lies there.
I guess you talked about the regional. I would say the thing that I'm positive about, if you want to call it optimism for an economist is a difficult commodity, but we're not called the dismal science for nothing. But I would be optimistic because no region, no business performs well in a weak national economy. And we at PNC think the next couple of years, the economy is going to continue to grow. It may be a bit slower than national trend with the many issues that we've talked about, but we're not in the recession camp. We don't see a U.S. economy, you know, grinding to a halt. And we are, reasonably optimistic that the national economy will have a positive background for small businesses in Ohio and any other place around the country. So I'll leave it at that.
Great. Thank you so much. And now Doug Buchanan with CMC is curating questions from our live stream audience. For those of you here with us in person, please join Doug over at the microphone. Doug, what is our first question?
Susan, thank you very much. Thank you so much to today's panelists as well. As Susan mentioned, if you do have a question for our panelists, please join us here at the microphone. If you're watching online, type your questions into the chat. We'll try to get to as many of those as we can. Don't be shy today. This is a terrific opportunity to ask these experts some great questions. Great questions, by the way, at CMC always have two things in common. They can be asked in just a few seconds. And what punctuation mark does a question actually end with? Or I'm sorry, what punctuation does a question end with? I answered my own question. They end with a question mark. Yes, thank you. All right, I'll launch us off with this one. Tim mentioned microloans. How small are microloans, and what do business owners often do with the funds?
So at ECDI, we actually do microloans as low as $500, short as 6 months in term length. We can do loans up to $350,000 in our microloan program. That's not often that we do those. Our average loan size, I think, is right around $22,000. But it varies pretty dramatically on what businesses can do with those funds. Some small businesses, they need to repair a piece of equipment or they need to hire staff. And so the program itself is really set up to meet the needs of the smallest small businesses up to, we've done loans for some of the well-established businesses that are three generations owned that lost confidence in their banking partner and turned to ECDI to then fund a pivot in their business. And so the ranges quite widely, but oftentimes you don't need $50,000 or $100,000 to start or grow your small business.
And there are quite a few micro loan programs out there. It's just a matter of looking at the details to see if it's, to Tim's point, more for fixed assets like equipment, or if it's working capital like a line of credit in order to hire or to pay staff. Each of the different programs throughout the city have different requirements attached to them.
Hi, I'm Bill Lafayette. I own Regionomics, which is a Columbus small business. And my question is related to immigration. I've noticed over the last few years that immigration and foreign-born folks have shifted from a key engine of our growth to the key engine of our growth here in Central Ohio. And I'm just wondering what you think about the current change in the status of immigrants in our local area and in the nation, what that's going to do to our economy.
I'd love to jump in because I know you have some insights on this. So ECDI was founded by Ina Kin. She came to the United States as a refugee. And her father started over. He started small businesses. And so for her, starting a small business is a real tangible thing that can lead to your family's ongoing success. And so that's what we do every day at ECDI. We have programs for our Office of Refugee and Resettlement Funds that help assist asylees, parolees, and refugees. And certainly the approach that the current administration has taken has put a halt to a lot of those resettlement activities. And the overall tone in general has not been positive to the reception of immigrants, but we know that immigrants start small businesses at a much higher rate than native-born U.S. citizens. And so they often, you don't get to the United States without a lot of effort. It does not matter what channel you use to get here, it takes a lot of effort. And the people who are willing to put in that effort oftentimes are willing to put in the effort that it takes to launch a small business. And so it makes doing the work more difficult, but the work is still very real, it's still very tangible, and the economic impact of it is immense.
I'm proud to live here in Columbus for that reason. As an immigrant myself, our family has been very lucky in being welcomed to this state, and then now Columbus, and having the ability to create a life here. And that's the story of every immigrant. My family in particular, we were never supposed to be here long term. My dad came to get his PhD, and we were heading back to Mexico. And every time he tried to go back, this was the better place to be. And so my parents made that decision to stay here. And I always wonder what life would be like if we would have grown up in Mexico versus here. I know that the opportunities that we've had here in this country have been a blessing. And so I find it extremely important to continue to give back to the future generations. And to Tim's point, immigrants here are here to build a better life, and they start businesses at a much higher rate than native-born. They get to follow all the rules, and that's our job as far as letting them know, because it can be very different starting a business here than starting a business back in their home country. And so it's our job to make sure that they understand what the rules are so that they can be successful. And Columbus as a whole has been so welcoming that I think it's why our economy is doing so well. And we make it important. Like as Columbus as a whole, we make people feeling welcome and a part of the community a priority. And I think that's why we continue to grow. And it's why immigrants continue to come here, because they hear from friends and family what is possible. And so, you know, they continue to come here and create a better life.
Building on that topic, without immigration, Ohio's overall population would be falling. You know, what can Central Ohio do to continue to attract entrepreneurs, if not from abroad, then other areas of the country?
I can certainly, there's a lot of opportunity in Columbus and in Central Ohio, and amplifying that opportunity and the voice of that opportunity across, you know, all levels of industries, geographies is really important, because there's a lot of investment that's happening here. And so small businesses reaching up and grabbing the pieces of that investment is really important, key to their success.
Hi, I'm Doug Buchanan. I also work with Susan at Business First. I want to build on Bill's question regarding immigrants. Especially for the city and ECDI, can you quantify at all the share of people who are coming to you for services and starting new businesses? How many of them are immigrants? And then kind of secondarily, are you seeing different pockets around Columbus? Is it downtown? Is it spread all over?
So we actually measure it on a varying levels of immigration status, if you will. I can't give you the exact numbers by any means, but it's a large portion of the market that we serve. We mentioned that you know, small business owners don't often take a linear path. They don't go to college, get an MBA, and then go start a small business. And so that's true amongst people who are new Americans. And so they often need assistance navigating the American economic system, our system of credit, and so the needs of immigrants are different than you know, somebody who goes through a standard suburban K-12 education. But neither one of those are equipping you with how to file taxes or how to form an LLC or how to fund a small business. And so The needs of the immigrants or new Americans are just slightly different, but it just echoes the needs of small business owners as a whole. Oftentimes, it's just creating equitable access to that information. That's one of the things that we pride ourselves on at ECDI, is removing those barriers of whatever it is for that small business owner. And for new Americans, it's just a different set of barriers.
Yeah, absolutely. We don't work with business owners directly. So what I will say is we put out about $1 million every year in training programs. It's an RFP that just closed late this summer that we're getting ready for 2026. And so based on the proposals that we get, we then make decisions to fund for the year. And so some of the programs that we have funded that are specific for immigrants are, for example, the Columbus Chamber has a Cultivate program that is specifically for immigrant and refugee businesses to provide, like what Tim said, like that specific support that they may not necessarily be clear on, things that we take for granted. We know when to pay taxes, you know, what the legal structures are. And so Cultivate supports that segment in the community. We've also funded programs specifically for immigrants. One is Our Lady of Guadalupe. Has done the business class. It's called Mercadito Raíces, and it's a business program all in Spanish that supports Latino entrepreneurs through a 6-month process where they then launch their business at Festival Latino. So we work with Kappa, we work with a lot of different organizations to make that happen. And overall, anyone is welcome to use our, you know, our services, as long as they, for us specifically with the City of Columbus, it's if they are a City of Columbus resident or if their business is based in Columbus, then absolutely we support. Through the Small Business Agenda, like I said, that is our guiding star. And so we are always making sure that we are supporting the disadvantaged segments of our community. The federal government has made it harder to do that. And we still try to make sure that all of our programming, we get the word out as much as possible so that anyone that wants to take advantage of our programs are welcome to do so. So I don't really have a number for you, Doug. That's my long-winded answer to say I don't have a number for you.
Hi, Walter. You mentioned you've had your business for about 13 years, I think. And I was wondering, from start to today, how did you know each step of the way when it was time for your business to grow and how to move into a new stage of growth?
Sure. So in the beginning, you know, we were not supposed to be in the food truck business. We actually built a trailer to cater. We have a large catering events going on. And then we met some people saying, hey, you know, you should go to the Ohio State Fair. What's the Ohio State Fair? So then we start finding out many events, even through ECDI. They had, like, you know, some list of offices. Remember, I started the business where you didn't see food trucks yet. You know, that was the first year, I think, they did the food truck festival in town. But we started with the trailer, and then the next year we did a food truck. So we wanted to fit the actual food truck business. But then I think, you know, our consistency, you know, we start, you know, making things right, you know, not just the food, because, you know, you don't, it's not because you cook, you know, you think you have the best food, you know, you're going to be the best. No, I mean, you got to put all the pieces together, you know, nice truck, clean, you know, great stuff, you know, create the experience of the food truck. So we actually, the first year, we have a great role models too, like Peter Abilities, you know, a lot of the trucks that already started with. So we learned a lot from them. And then we were like truck number one, then truck number two. We were funding though. We invested every single year, we invested the money back into the business. We never, you know, used the money to, you know, buy things for ourselves or nothing. So we didn't get a loan until, like I said, like 2024, but, you know, then second truck, then third truck, then the Columbus Commons offer us, you know, that little shop in the park, which was one of the big, you know, achievement, I believe, you know, just to be there in the middle of Columbus. But yeah, I mean, every year up to 2024, we invested every single penny we made, every single penny. But I think, you know, the goals now are bigger. And so the you know, we needed to create a business plan that we can go and ask for loans and even grants, you know, because you know, I think the city are awesome, you know, in giving grants when you have a great concept. I think, you know, you know the city is willing to help. But, yeah, man, every year it's been the plans get bigger and bigger now.
One more question.
Yes, one final question. What economic indicators should small business owners be watching most closely in the next 6 months or so?
I think one of the biggest things that they're up against is their cost of goods sold. And as that continues to rise, that has to go somewhere. It either goes to their margins, it goes to what they're paying themselves, or it goes to the customer. And so that's one of the big areas where businesses can improve their positioning, is lowering their cost of goods. And in the environment that we're in, I don't think any small business owners are looking at their cost of goods as coming down.
Well, of course, as the government is going to start hopefully announcing data, watching those job numbers. There are data for Ohio. There's data for Columbus. I referred to some of that. Sometimes they come out with a lag. I mean, even in the normal times, a month or two. But certainly if they want to get the broader perspective of what's happening in this region, state, and the nation, we're going to get some data. And if they were to start to see some negative numbers, you know, maybe not 1 month, but a couple of months, that would be a sign that, you know, maybe we're wrong, that the economy is in more trouble, and that would spill over. And of course, the most important thing they need to watch is the PNC Small Business Survey that will come out early next year, and we'll be glad to share that with you.
Nice plug. My biggest concern is, given what's going to happen with healthcare. Small business owners are going to feel the tightening of how they're going to be able to keep their employees that need benefits, that the small business owner cannot afford to give benefits, and so then they're very likely going to lose those employees to jobs that will provide the benefits so that a family can pay for their health care. And so it's going to be, a business owner is going to have to get creative on how to keep employees.
I really wish we had more time, but I'm getting the wrap-up signal from Doug, so we'll turn it back over to Sophia for concluding remarks.
You've been listening to the Columbus Metropolitan Club's weekly forum on 90.5 WCBE. Small businesses are the backbone of Central Ohio's economy, creating jobs, fueling innovation, and shaping our communities. Despite inflation, labor shortages, and tariffs, many small business owners report feeling optimistic about the future. This week, we explored why. We're grateful to this week's panelists, Stuart Hoffman, Senior Economic Advisor with PNC Financial Services Group, Tim Kehoe with the Economic and Community Development Institute, Ariana Ulloa Olivarieta, Small Business Coordinator for the City of Columbus, and Walter Iwez, Founder of Tortilla Street Food. Our host was Susan Post with Columbus Business First. This forum was sponsored by PNC. The presenting sponsor of our live stream was the Center for Human Kindness at the Columbus Foundation. CMC's live stream partner was the Columbus Dispatch. This forum was also supported by Downtown Columbus Incorporated and the National Veterans Memorial and Museum. If you're ready to keep exploring this week's forum topic, our friends at the Columbus Metropolitan Library recommend reading The New Builders, Face-to-Face with the True Future of Business by Seth Levine. Join us next week as the not-for-profit Columbus Metropolitan Club once again connects people and ideas through community conversations. I'm Doug Buchanan with CMC. Thanks for listening.